The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Reading from Deuteronomy, Moses said, "The Lord of your God will raise you like a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord, your God, at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever see again this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among your own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet shall speak in my name. I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name, a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be
to God. Let us pray Psalm 111 responsively. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord, pondered by all who delight in them.
Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever.
You cause your one.
Give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown
works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a great understanding. God's praise endures forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who commands to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fail. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
I was in Virginia for Thanksgiving. I connected with an old grad school friend. It's always nice to make those connections after years. And Ed was telling me that there was a family crisis. And sharing this crisis that they were having. After 25 years of marriage, they run into this problem. Ed has decided, because of the number of concussion illness or injuries and permanent brain damage that so many football players suffer, Ed has decided to boycott football. Now, that wouldn't be a problem 25 years ago, but in their years of marriage, Ed has turned Marie into a very good fan. I'm a little worried about what's going to happen today because, excuse me, her favorite team is the Patriots. So what's going to happen today when Ed and Marie have to figure out what to do? I'm afraid that there will be as many powerful clashes in their living room as on the football field today. But it's not only about football that we fight. In our war-torn world, there seems that there's not a day that goes by that we don't hear about some powerful clash of forces against one another someplace in the world. The Middle East seems to be always at war. There's civil unrest throughout Africa, throughout Asia, the Ukraine fighting for independence, and those governments that were overthrown and then newly established governments through the Arab Spring, those governments are now beginning to crumble. There are powerful forces clashing around the world. There are powerful clashes of power internally too. I struggle, and I would guess that you probably do too. I shouldn't do this, shouldn't say this, shouldn't eat that, shouldn't buy that. And then I know the guilt. I shouldn't have eaten that. I shouldn't have bought that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate."
Paul knows about those powerful clashes, the battle between those forces within. And he admits that it's usually the bad guys that win. We don't like to admit it, but those battles go on inside of us too. Remember learning about conscience, good conscience, bad conscience? We had a picture, little angel sitting on your shoulder, whispering in this ear, little devil sitting on this shoulder, whispering in this ear, that powerful clash going on in our brain. What's right? What will we do? We'll answer the phone. The story of demon possession is an odd story for our 21st century ears. So Jesus is teaching in the synagogue one day when all hell breaks loose. Everyone except Jesus is really caught off guard. There they were, listening to Jesus teach, and his words just held them. They were in awe at his words. He spoke with authority. He didn't just quote somebody else, but he spoke with authority, and the crowd was riveted. Somehow the truth from this teacher was so much more than just words. When he spoke about the assurance of God's love and care, it became tangible for the people who were listening. People were hanging on his every word. You could hear a pin drop. Then, from out of nowhere, comes this agonizing cry. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Imagine the voice like that girl in The Exorcist. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? People started looking around, and they saw this man ranting like a crazy person. And then out of his mouth comes what sounds like a curse. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And everyone's eyes are on that demon-possessed man. And they move from that man to Jesus. But Jesus doesn't seem shaken at all. He looks at the man. He looks him right in the eye, and he doesn't take a step back. It's like the forces of good and evil are facing off right there, heaven and hell, eye to eye, facing off for battle. And Jesus gives a direct order. There's no fear, no trepidation in his voice. He has no hesitation, no doubt. He knows the outcome of this battle. Be silent and come out of him. He addresses not the man, but the spirit that is in that man, that demon that's in the man. He speaks to that what thing that is deep inside of him. He speaks to the devil that has a death grip on that man. And the evil within convulses that guy, and it just tears him up inside. And then peace, silence, calm. The people who were watching this were stunned. Jesus doesn't only talk about God and the love and the care of God, he actually brings it about. Evil runs away in the face of this goodness. Jesus has authority, an inner authority that comes from his powerful connection to God. One time, many years ago, I preached a sermon about the power of evil in our lives, and I put on devil horns and preached that sermon. But you know, the power of evil is not a funny character with horns and a pitchfork. The power of evil is serious business. Evil and the power of the devil are present in our world. It's not just a funny character. It's not just a story that we read about that happened thousands of years ago. The power of evil and the presence of evil is true in our lives. When we celebrate a baptism, or when we have an affirmation of baptism, we hear that profound truth loud and clear. We are asked the question, do you renounce the devil and the forces that defy God? I renounce them, we all say. And we proclaim that renunciation, and we pray that it is strong and true. But the powers of evil are strong in our lives. It might be a physical or psychological desire for drugs or alcohol or something else that we're addicted to. It might be the need for approval or an overwhelming desire to have more stuff. It might be the crushing feeling of depression or anxiety or guilt or grief. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has power to overcome all those destructive forces in our lives. The good news is that the presence of Jesus Christ can bring about peace in our lives. The clash of powerful forces that we read about in Mark's gospel text is still real in our world and in our lives. Like St. Paul, we struggle to understand our actions and desires. We grow impatient. We are tempted. We may even wonder if God has left us to do battle by ourselves. The good news in this powerful clash of forces in our lives is that the presence of Jesus Christ assures us of the outcome of that battle. We do not struggle alone. We do not struggle in vain. When we reach out our hand to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we know that we receive that power and his strength. When we reach out our hand to one another in Christian love and concern, the presence of Jesus Christ brings that peace and that calm. I know I've told this tale before, but I'll share it again. This is a Native American story. The grandfather is teaching his young grandson. He's talking about conscience, and he's talking about inner struggles. Grandfather says, it's like two dogs fighting inside of us. There is one good dog that wants to do the right, and there's a bad dog that wants to do the wrong. Sometimes one is stronger, sometimes it's the other. But grandfather, who's going to win in the end? And the grandfather answered, the one you feed. May the power of Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. May your desire to feed the good win out. Amen. Oh, I got a text from Ed this morning, and they found a solution to their family crisis. They're going to a Super Bowl party, one of those parties where no one watches the game. Because we know it's all about the snacks.